Blog Talk Radio.
It is not changing.
Uh-oh. Are we on?
Hello, everyone. It is what it says. No, it's still showing. Let me log off on. Thank you. And it looks like we are back on now. So
on the air.
Yeah, hey. Now it shows me on. So let's get on with the intro. We'll be right back.
Welcome.
Oh, geez.
It's that time again.
Yeah,
it's time for Ron, winemaker, cellar master, and tasting expert with Florida Estates Winery in Land O'Lakes. So dim the lights.
They are
pull
dim.
Up a chair.
I don't
or
have
better
chair.
Yet,
I have
enjoy the
Will?
Company of that special
yep.
someone who's staring back at you from the couch. Sit
don't
back and relax. Where's the cork thingy? Enjoy a tall glass of wine, carefully prepared right here in Florida. World-class wines from Florida Estates Winery. Chat with us online, or better yet, call the show and talk to Ron. By phone, dial area code 646-727-3235. Registered users of Blog Talk Radio can call the show for free using the click to talk button. It's all about wine. And now, from Florida and Florida Estates Winery, Ron.
What is it? Yes, and we are here. Yes, welcome to the program. Again, the call-in number is area code 646-727. Oh, man, that was a strong glass. 3235. let's see, what was the last time I was there? Oh, my goodness. I just took a sip from that.
It might be bad. Be careful.
Well, luckily, it has a year on it, which is 2003.
What is it?
It's not like the red wine that I had the long time ago, but it says Chateau Reserve, which I probably should have reserved it where it was, North Carolina Chardonnay. Weren't we just talking about Chardonnay?
We talked about Chardonnay last week. Well, 2000, it should be good if you've been keeping it properly. It should
well,
be good.
Yeah, that's my. See, I don't have a cellar and all that kind of stuff like y'all have. I just put it wherever. I mean, it hasn't been in the heat or anything. Well, it might have. You know what? The drive back. I don't know where this was. 2003 is a long time. I like the little picture of the Biltmore Estate on there, but it's yeah.
Yeah, it's a nice picture. I get a bottle during all the wines I have there at the winery. You know, I get ones from different states, and Biltmore is the one. That is a beautiful picture of the winery there.
Yeah, that's really nice. I like that. It's it looks like a white wine. I guess yeah. I don't know, after a couple of glasses of it, I won't care anymore, but so we'll pour everybody. There we go, some pouring sounds, and I have a little toast. There we go, so we toast everybody.
There we go.
All right, we're ready to, whoa. All right, that was quick. We're ready to start the show, I guess. It's 7:04 p.m. Eastern Time, and this is a live show if you're listening to us on Blog Talk Radio. If you're not listening to us here, you're listening to the music stream. They are, we're replaying episode 12, which was on corks. So the corks episode is replaying there, and later on tonight this will be replaying. So,
cool.
Wow. I've got to try another sip. Tonight we're going to be talking about... I'm still not sure if I have that correct. Riesling?
Yes.
Riesling grapes. And we also have a lot of events coming up at the winery this weekend, and also we'll be definitely announcing those. So with us on the phone, as was mentioned earlier, is Ron with the Florida Estates Winery in Land O'Lakes, Florida. Ron, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Mike. Thank you.
All right. Very good. Where's our studio audience? There they are.
There you go. Thank you, studio audience.
Already slurring my speech. I don't know if that's a good thing or not. By the end of the show, we'll be, I don't know what we'll be doing. But anyway, okay.
Maybe telling wine jokes, huh? Maybe.
Yes. Yes, I have a few. Maybe I'll toss them in there sometime.
There you go.
All right. So we're going to be talking about grapes. Here we go.
We're going to be talking about the Riesling grape.
Yes.
A little aside, I was out today, and I got picked up some wine. Actually, I picked up some wine while I was at Sam's Club. And as I was walking out the door, for those of you who are familiar with Sam's Club, you have to give them the receipt and they count your number of items and they cross off to be sure it's the same ones on the list so you won't walk out with anything. As I was walking out the door, I only had one item, that was the wine. The lady crossed off and she says, ooh, she says, get that good and chilled. What was a red wine? And so I wasn't going to chill it. And so my response was, yes, I'll put it in the freezer. And she said, good idea. And it just occurred to me how many people are not aware of wine and how it should be treated and you know, how to get the full flavors and full enjoyment out of it. But I suppose that goes with just about anything. I mean, you know, if you start looking at beer or anything else, people just aren't really aware of how to pull out the full flavors and everything of beer, how it should be drank in the right temperatures and all that. But it really struck home today when she told me, oh, get that good and cold as you drink it. And
she should listen to the program. She would listen.
And she really should. I said, you know, we need some little cards. I said, here, yeah. Tune in. Yeah.
Yeah, you definitely need to listen and you'll learn like the rest of us have.
Yeah, listen and learn a little bit. But,
put it in the freezer. Yeah, that would be good.
Yeah, I'll throw it in the freezer.
Wine pops.
Yeah, there you go. Wine pops. And it will freeze for all of you people out there who are thinking, oh, wine's got alcohol, it's not going to freeze. Yeah, it will. It'll freeze. It's, you know, it's, the alcohol is not so high that it's going to cause it not to freeze. So you put it in the freezer and it will freeze. So we are going to talk about the Riesling grape, spelled R-I-E-S-L-I-N-G, Riesling. I've heard some people pronounce it wrestling, but the Riesling is the pronunciation I have always heard, I've always used, and everyone I've ever talked to in the industry has always used it. So maybe there are a few people out there. I mean, they pronounce things like the Himalayan mountains as Himalayas, so I suppose you can change it to any way you want to on the pronunciation of just about any word. The Riesling is one of the noble grapes. There's, and if anyone hears this, and you can correct me, I believe there's 6 noble grapes in the world. These are the classic grapes. These are the ones that have been around for a long time, that wines have been made from for centuries, and they're classified as noble grapes. Riesling is one of those, and I will follow up with that to let you know in the next program exactly if there are 5 or 6. I'm not sure. I think there is 6. Merlot, Cabernet Sauvignon, Chardonnay, Riesling. Cabernet Franc, I believe, is one. And I don't know. But I'll check and find out next program. I'll let you. Sure. I'll let you know. Kathy, go get the other book in there. So, the Riesling, little background on Riesling. Riesling, the Riesling grape can be traced back to Germany, and that's actually where it's grown most often now. It was first written accounts of the Riesling were in 1435, I believe, yeah, 1435. They have cellar logs of a count something, and I hate to try to pronounce his name because it's a very long, awkward name, who had the cellar logs were dated 13 March 1435, and he purchased Riesling vines for the sum of 22 solidi, whatever that is, 22 shillings, 22 solidi, and those were the first grapes and the first time any of the Riesling was documented. It was red. They used a Riesling red grape for a while also in their early growings of the grape, from what I understand, it tastes the same, smells the same, made basically the same wine, and you had to pull the red grapes off of it, or the red skins off of it to get the white wine. But now it is a green grape. A lot of green grape grows in a lot of pretty tight clusters. It's not a super prolific grape by any means, but it does grow quite well. It is planted quite extensively in Germany now. German is, since that's where it originally came from, That's where it's most extensively planted, and there are still lots of acreage out there. They're saying that the latest records are showing that in 2006, 20%, a little over, almost 21% of all plantings in Germany were the Riesling grape, which is, it's a pretty high percentage. The Alsace region of France has almost 22% of their plantings in Riesling, which is a substantial amount. Riesling is also grown in quite a few other countries, Austria, Luxembourg, Italy, Australia, New Zealand, United States, Canada, China, Ukraine, and most of the countries, and I didn't mention Chile, Argentina, most of the countries in the higher elevations. It's another one of those grapes I mentioned last week, and we'll refer back to the Chardonnay. If the grapes are planted in a cooler, higher climate, it makes for a better balance of the grape. It makes for a little bit more fruitiness and a little less acid. If it is planted in a warmer climate, warmer nights and stuff like this, it will create a more acidic wine, a little bit sharper, harsher wine, which needs to be balanced out. So most of the areas are planted in a cooler climate. Most of the recent findings around the world are planted in the cooler climate because of that, trying to keep the acid down. The Riesling in Germany, the Riesling grape itself is usually classified as one of the top three in white wine grapes. The Chardonnay and Sauvignon Blanc being the other two. The Riesling does pick up very well from the soils and the terroir that the France always like to refer to. The Riesling is very good about showing the areas, the soils, and all that. A lot of volcanic soils that are in the Alsace region of France and all that create a very nice, crisp Riesling. Rieslings can be made in a variety of different styles, too. You can get a Riesling that is extremely dry, the style being closer to a Chardonnay or something. Now, since I did mention Chardonnay and Riesling, Rieslings usually are not oaked. It is most commonly the Rieslings are just fermented and aged in stainless steel. Seldom do you find a real oak real oak Riesling. I'm sure there are some out there, but I've never ran across one. The dry style of Riesling, Virginia is one that comes to mind right now. Virginia puts out some very nice dry Rieslings. There's two or three wineries up there that have some beautiful dry Rieslings. I tasted a few over the years, California, some wineries, and I'm not sure exactly which ones right now, if they still do the ones that I remember, but some of the wineries do put out a dry style Riesling, and let me clarify, dry being the opposite of sweet. If a wine is not sweet, then it tends to be dry. If it's not dry, then it tends to be sweet. So when you're talking about a Riesling, when you say dry, that is the lack of sweetness, or any grape actually, or anyone. So the lack of sweetness in the Riesling creates a dry one. And there are some Rieslings out there that are extremely dry. There's absolutely very little, if any, sweetness in it, which is, makes for a nice balanced wine. It's surprising to see a Riesling label and then taste something that's dry too. But I've had, again, some absolutely gorgeous dry Rieslings. Riesling is also made in a very sweet style. Some of the sweetest wines in the world are made from the Riesling grape. Germany makes the Eiswein, Eiswein from the Riesling grape, also from the Sauvignon grape and the Terminer grape, but the Riesling is used quite often as your Eiswein. New York State puts out a very nice Riesling. If I may get on a soapbox for a second here, New York has some very nice wines. Don't get me wrong, for those of you who are New York wine fans and all that, they have some beautiful wines. I think, though, New York State spends too much time trying to make every single grape they can grow up there. They have a tremendous amount of variety of grapes that are able to be grown in New York State, and they make every one of them. A new one comes out, and as a matter of fact, last fall, Cornell University just came up with two new varieties that will grow well, make a nice wine in New York State, and they're looking at planting those and making wines out of those already. And if New York State would just concentrate on a single grape or a single type of wine, they could be a world-class grower of that. And I think that grape and that wine could be a Riesling. New York has the capabilities of doing a phenomenal Riesling. They have the soil, they have the climate, they have the cool nights, warm days, they have the temperatures, they have everything they need to come out with just an absolutely phenomenal Riesling. And I've had a couple of phenomenal Rieslings from New York, but it's not something that they have concentrated on. And in my opinion, it's something that they should. When you speak of different regions of the world, you speak of different areas. You say California, your thought immediately goes to dry reds. Oregon, it's usually a Pinot Noir. Washington State tends to do some nice whites, Rieslings being one of them. You mentioned New Zealand. Sauvignon Blanc comes to mind. Australia, Syrah, reds. Argentina, Pinot Noir. Chile, I had some real nice reds coming out of there. South Africa has some beautiful whites. So everywhere, and you know, France, you think reds. Germany, whites. Again, we're back to the Riesling. Italy, lighter fruitier reds. So anywhere you mention a wine growing district, it has an identity. It has a grape that it grows, and it has a type of wine that it makes, and you can pretty much pinpoint that these are the world-class ones coming out of those regions, except for New York State. And you say New York State, and people go, yeah, Finger Lakes, which it just, you know, it's really sad because they have the capabilities of people saying New York State, and they're going, yeah, Riesling, those are, you know, the best Riesling that you can find. So, it, you know, in my opinion, New York really needs to, you know, even some of the wineries up there, they've got lots of them. They need to start concentrating and start showing that the Riesling can be a New York State phenom, more so than Germany or anywhere else in the world,
Are you saying they should cut back on trying to produce every type of wine and concentrate on one particular? Or are you just saying they need to add that to them?
They do. You walk into a winery in New York, and they'll show you a list of the wines they make that are 15, 20 wines long. okay, that's great and that's wonderful, and I'm sure you're going to find one in that list that you're going to like. But if you have a capability of doing something good or everything you can possibly make that's okay, then why not concentrate on doing something great?
Yeah.
And there's not enough wineries in New York State that do that, in my opinion. And again, for all those of you sitting out there listening, I'm not trying to diss New York and the wine regions or anything else. I mean, like I say, they make some beautiful wines up there. But it's just that it's sad that they don't concentrate on the Riesling a little bit more because they do have the capabilities of blowing everybody out of the water with the Rieslings. There are some good ones. I've had some Rieslings from New York that do blow everyone out of the water. They've got the climate, they've got the temperatures, the soil, from the ice age that's dumped in the Finger Lakes area there. They've got the beautiful soil, they've got the temperatures, everything that the Riesling grape likes and desires to grow well, and they don't have enough of them that really concentrate on trying to do that. So, but again, that's, you know, little get off my soapbox about that, because I've had some good ones out of there, and that's why I think it's really sad that they don't do more, because I would love to see some world-class Rieslings coming out of New York.
Yeah.
Back to the Riesling, though. Riesling was traced back, the origins of the Riesling grape have been traced back to... They think it was a wild grape that started the Riesling. They've done DNA fingerprinting and all that on the Riesling, and they've traced the Riesling to a grape called the, and I'm sure I might be pronouncing this wrong, the Gauze Blanc, G-O-U-A-I-S, Gauss, I think is pronounced Blanc. And that's originally from the Croatia region, brought over by the Romans. Again, like I mentioned a couple of weeks ago or last week, so many grapes come out of the area which is now Iran and Iraq. It's in Croatia and stuff like that. It's just, it's amazing how that is the center of the wine grapes as we know them now. The Croatian, I lost myself there. The reasoning was one of the parents of the Riesling grape was from Croatia, brought over by the Romans. And the other is a cross between a wild vine and a Terminer grape. The Terminer, you those out there familiar with wines might be familiar with the Gewürztraminer, which is a grape. But the Terminer grape is parent to one of the parents of the Riesling, and it was thought to be born in the Rhine Valley. This is where the cross happened, or the cross-pollination, mm-hmm. however it works in the wild, and whoever does it, this is how it happened to come about. It, like I said earlier, there used to be a redskin version of the Riesling, and now the white is most commonly used. The white and red difference, minuscule, you're going to get the same type of aroma, same type of taste, same type of grape all the way around. And I'm sure over the years, just for convenience sake, it was bred to be a lighter color. Now it's a green grape. As an aside here, for all of those of you out there are interested in grape parentage, the Pinot Noir and the Pinot Gris is basically the same parentage too. One is the white version of the other. The Pinot Gris is the white version of the Pinot Noir. So I thought that was interesting when I ran across that. The Riesling is a grape that can be aged for years and years. It's if done in a sweeter style, it can be aged for many, many years. 20, 30, 40 years is not uncommon to age a ice wine. The high acid that is in some of the wines can also help it age through, and the acid really doesn't dissipate as the wine ages, but it if you get a good balance and all that, the acid can soften a little bit, so it's not as harsh on the tongue and back of the mouth. And acid is what everybody refers to as bitter. I always like to point that out too. People will take a sip of wine and go, ooh, this is bitter. Wines aren't bitter. They're acidic. So it is the acid that you're doing, that little bite that you're getting. It's the acid that you're tasting most often that you refer to as bitter, or the sharp taste, or any other descriptions along that line. Usually it's the acid that comes out that you're tasting. Most Rieslings are drank young. You can age them, but most Rieslings are drank young. And when you do get a young Riesling, you're going to get a lot of green apple type aromas, especially German wines. And I've always said it's very easy to pick out a German white wine as opposed to a white wine from anywhere else in the world, because to me, a German white wine always has a green apple aroma to it. Every time I've ever smelled of a German white wine, I've always been able to detect this green apple aroma, and I know immediately it's a German white wine. And why, I don't know. I don't have an answer to that. It just, almost every single German white wine I've ever tasted has had that, as opposed to the same types of wines from other parts of the world who didn't. So,
Is it picked up, because they absorb items in the soil? In the soil, is it possible that there's, just the soil that they have or something? Or
maybe the components in the soil that they grow the grapes in Germany. It very possibly could be. But it just it's always been funny to me because every time I smell a German white wine, I've always had this strong hint of the green apple aroma to it, and it doesn't translate over into the taste real strongly or anything, but a very very pronounced green apple aroma. While we're on aromas, the Riesling aroma does come out with green apple or other type of apple, sweet apple. You also, in the Riesling, can pick up grapefruit, peach, honey, rose blossom nose to it. A lot of people like to say that cut green grass, they can smell that in the Rieslings. Wow. I honestly, myself, never been able to smell that so much. You drive by an area where they're cutting the grass, and to me it's a distinct aroma I've never picked up in wine. But if you do, that's great. That's wonderful. It is something that a lot of people do detect in wine. These are, you know, the aromas will also enhance into the flavor. Some of these will pass off into the flavor. Grapefruit is really quite common in Riesling. Peach, I've had some Rieslings that just almost taste like you just took a peach and squeezed it into the glass and then added the wine to it. It just was so wonderful. I mean, I just absolutely loved it because of the peach undertones to the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
Usually the crisp taste in Rieslings, the little bite you get in Rieslings, again, is the acid. A lot of people find Rieslings to be a little sharp. Again, that's acid. It's just part of the grape. It's nothing that the winemaker is trying to bring out. It's nothing that we try to strive for. It's just that Rieslings tend to have a little bit of acid, and except for the sweet Rieslings, most Rieslings have a little bit of acid that you will find and pick up in it. Sweet Rieslings, I said dry Rieslings are your semi-sweet Rieslings, can be consumed right away, not made to be aged. Those are the ones that let sit and for a short period of time, chill it, pour it in a glass and enjoy it within the first year or so. They're not made to be put in any length of time. There are the Rieslings, though, that can be aged. You can get German or even United States Eiswines, or Eisleins, as they're called in Germany, that will age for quite some period of time. What they do on this, and I might have covered this in an earlier episode, but let me go over it again here since we are talking about Rieslings, and this is really the most common grape used for the Eiswines in Germany. What started this was many years ago, a monk picked some grapes, and the name has escaped me right now. I can't remember the monk's name. Let me see. Here it is. Late 18th century at Schloss Johannesburg. And hence the Johannesburg Riesling that we hear about a lot, too. It's just, which is the same thing as a Riesling. It's not a different grape. A Johannesburg Riesling and a Riesling is the same grape. At Johannesburg, they started picking grapes that arrived late and started to use those grapes. Now, what happens is when in Germany, the grapevines are planted a lot on the hillsides of the rivers, the Danube, the Moselle, and the Rhine. As the season goes, the grapes grow, and if you've ever seen any German grape pictures, you'll see a lot of them on the hills of the rivers and sloped up, and you'll see castles on top of the hill. Since this is an internet program, those of you with an internet, look up German grapes or German vineyards and, you know, search German vineyards or German vineyards by the Danube or Moselle or Rhine, and it'll show you pictures. Just ask for pictures, and it'll show you some great pictures of the vineyards and how they're sloped up. And it's not just gentle slopes either. They are really quite large, big slopes. You can take boat rides down any of those three rivers and do a wine tour down on boat rides to the rivers, which is absolutely phenomenal. But the grapes are grown on the hills up from these rivers, these the hillsides up from rivers. And we're talking 45-degree hillsides. We're not talking, you know, 10, 15 degrees. As the grapes are ready to be picked, and once they mature, if the grapes are picked right away and made into a wine, this is usually referred to as a cabinet. And that's K-A-B-I-N-E-T-T, a cabinet. Cabinet wine is a reasonably dry wine. It's not really sweet, sweeter than what you semi-sweet, semi-dry, if you will. That's usually a term that's referred to a lot. It doesn't have a lot of residual sugar. It's a soft wine. If you've ever bought a Blue Nun wine, that Blue Nun is a cabinet. That's the style of a Blue Nun. Just a little bit of sweetness, but not enough to really call it a sweet wine. As the weather cools down, as the air cools down, the river stays warm. So the combination of the air cooling and the river staying warm creates a fog that rose up from the river. And it gets on to the grapevines. This fog, having moisture in it, causes a fungus that is in the grapevines to start growing. This fungus is called the Botrytis cinerea. And for those of you who like to look it up, it's B-O-T-R-Y-T-I-S, Botrytis cinerea, spelled C-I-N-E-R-E-A. This is referred to as the noble rot or botrytis most often. They drop the cinerea whenever they're talking about this fungus. The botrytis cinerea, the botrytis or noble rot, the fungus starts to grow when these grapes get the moisture from the fog that rolls into the grapevines. Since this fungus doesn't hurt the grapevines, it stays on the grapevines and starts living off the water in the grapes, the juice in the grapes. And actually the water, I shouldn't say juice, I should say water, lives off the water, moisture in the grapes. Now, if a grape is picked or grapes are picked, as soon as this botrytis gets into it and they make a wine from this, this is referred to as a spätlese, S-P-A-T-L-E-S-E. And you can find this in your grocery stores, in your liquor stores. They're very common. It's a very common style of German Rieslings, the spätlese. They let the mold stay on the grapevines a little bit longer. They wait until a little bit more moisture is sucked out of it, and they pick the grapes and make a wine from that, and this is referred to as an Auslese. That's spelled A-U-S-L-E-S-E, an Auslese. Now, an Auslese wine tends to be a little bit sweeter, and again, you can find these in grocery stores and liquor stores, wine stores, just about everywhere. It's a very common style of a Riesling coming out of Germany, and it's found just about everywhere. They ship a lot of those out, the Spätlese and Auslese. If they decide to leave these grapes on the vine, if they decide to let it get a little bit more moisture sucked out of these grapevines, they want to let it concentrate the sugar a little bit more into the grape, then they pick the grapes. This is called a Beeren Auslese. Now, this is spelled B-E-E-R-E-N, Beeren Auslese, A-U-S-L-E-S-E. a Baron Ausschluss is tends to be sweeter than an Ausschlusser. It's got a lot of sugar concentration in it because you're picking these grapes after the grapevines are after the detritus, this noble rot has sucked quite a bit of the moisture out of the grapes. They decide to leave the grapes on longer. They don't want to pick them quite yet. They decide they're not going to go for a Baron Ausschluss. They're going to go for an even sweeter wine. So they leave the grapes on longer. Now, what happens is these grapes look like raisins dangling from the vine. Literally, you can look up, again, on the Internet, look up pictures for this, look up Botrytis cinerea on the Internet, and there'll probably be pictures out there available. And it looks like these grapes are just a bunch of raisins dangling down from wines. They've had all this moisture sucked out of them by this mold, by this fungus. And they pick the grapes now, and they make a wine from that. And it is called a Trockenbaren Ausschlusser. A big word, but simply it just means that it's a style of a wine. Riesling, most common you use. That's spelled T-R-O-C-K-E-N, Trockenbaren Ausschlusser, Baron Ausschlusser, again the same. And what this does is it gives the wine a very high sugar content, a residual sugar content, because there is very little moisture in the grapes, and the moisture that is in the grapes is balanced out with the sweetness of balanced out by how much sweetness is in the grapes. So a very, very sweet wine. This is rare. You don't find a whole lot of Trockenbaren Ausschlusser, and they're expensive because it is so rare. They tend to be very expensive. The time you wait for that particular grapes and then wait for the grapes to get in, and you're taking a chance because you're looking past regular harvest season. So you're looking at the possibilities of bad weather. You're looking at possibilities of any type of storms, winter storms coming in. You're looking at any possibilities of high winds or anything. And these are little raisins dangling from the vine are not real secure. So you get, a storm go through high winds or heavy rains or hail as it's getting in toward the fall season in Germany, and you can lose everything on your crop. So this is a very risky business to try to wait for make something this late in the season and this type of a grape. So the Trockenbaren Ausschlusser is usually sold in the 375 milliliter bottle, and the 375 milliliter bottle being half the size of their standard wine bottle, and it usually runs around $100. Uh-huh. $90 to $110 for a bottle of this. Wow. So now we have the Trockenbaren Ausschlusser, so very unusual, very rare. The Trockenbaren Ausschlusser has high sugar, extremely high sugar content, and because of this high sugar content, it can age. You can take a Trockenbaren Ausschlusser, and they have found bottles and they've tasted them that have survived and aged for over 100 years, and they were just as good as if you just bottled it and popped open a brand new one. So the aging possibility is definitely there for these high sugar concentrated wines. They decide to leave the grapes on the vine. Instead of picking them and making them Trockenbaren Ausschlusser, the Germans decide to leave the grapes on the vine because they understand that there's going to be a cold snap coming in. It's going to get very cold tonight, and it's going to freeze. And so they leave the grapes on the vine. Well, now they're monitoring these things 24/7. They're out there, and they're checking these grapes and being sure that nothing's happening to them. And they're having to keep the birds away because the birds love these little sweet raisin grapes and all that. And the cold comes in, and it freezes. The temperature drops down to minus 6 Celsius. Now, minus 6 Celsius is about 25 degrees Fahrenheit. It's cold. Right. What it does is when it freezes, it then freezes these little raisins, these little grapes dangling down from the vine. When it freezes these grapes, the moisture that is left in them, which at this time is very small amounts, but the moisture that is left in them is now frozen. So what you have is just almost like a pure sugar raisin there. They pick these grapes when it is cold, when it's frozen in the middle of the night, continue to keep them cold all the way up to the time that they're pressed. And what they do is they press out the sugar and they make a wine out of this. This is called an Eislein, E-I-S-W-E-I-N, an Eislein. Now, the reason grape is your most common grape used for the Eislein, and it is because of the characteristics of the Riesling grape, it makes for a beautiful, beautiful Eislein. The conditions are extremely rare to get an Eislein. There are nine regions in Germany, what we call AVA, American Viticulture Areas. Germany has their own name, and I apologize, I don't know what their regions are called, their viticulture areas are called. But Germany has nine viticulture areas. To make an Eislein, by German law, the temperature has to drop below 6 degrees Celsius, and it has to freeze the grapes on the line. They've got different laws that cover these things. And so because of that, seldom are Eisleins made. From the 1900 to 1999, only about nine different times has an Eislein been made out of Germany. 2005 was an exception. I understand that all regions were able to produce an Eislein during 2005. It was one of those rare occasions where everybody had the perfect conditions. Again, though, not all wineries decided to do it. Again, not all wineries want to take the chance. They might leave a little area, a little small field, and then if they start getting attacked by birds or anything else, they may just say, forget it and go ahead and make a wine. So Eisleins are very rare. They are very good. They're very high sugar content, and they will age for 100, 120, 130 years.
Wow.
With the sugar content in them, they have the capabilities of staying just as good as the day that they were made. Eisleins tend to have a very dark golden color to it, a honey color to it almost. They're sweet, but not a heavy sweetness. It's a nice, clean, sweet wine. Nectar of the gods has been referred to as for Eisleins. So they are really a delicious type wine and delicious type flavor. In the United States and in Canada, they make Eisleins. They make Eisleins every year, actually, in Canada and northern United States. They freeze the grapes. The grapes are left on the vine to freeze. And again, this takes, you're taking a chance that there's not going to be a problem. But they leave the grapes on the vine. They freeze the grapes on the vine, pick them in the cold, and cold press those. The thing is with domestic or Canadian Eisleins, is that they're not affected by botrytis. And so, therefore, you don't have a concentration of the sweetness in it. You still have a lot of moisture in it. So the United States and Canadian Eisleins are not as concentrated sugar overall as you'll find in some of the German Eisleins. Although the United States and Canadian Eisleins are delicious. I've had those, and they are absolutely wonderful in themselves. And they are rather inexpensive. You can find Eisleins from Canada or the United States in the $20 to $25, $30 range. They try to keep the price down because they understand that it is made every year, and they don't need to charge as much. So they do keep the price down. I do highly recommend anyone who's listening to this, if you've never had an Eislein, by all means, pick up a domestic or Canadian one. It is well worth a little extra price to try it, just to say you've had one. There's a man in L.A. that makes an Eisleins every year. He goes out and buys himself a bunch of Riesling grapes and puts them in a freezer and freezes them and presses them, makes an Eisleins. Just as legal as everybody else. There's no law stating that we can't do that. So, there was a rumor going around last year, there was a rumor going around last year, and I had more than one person come into the winery and tell me that they heard that somebody in Ocala was going to do that too. They were going to start getting grapes in or freezing them and making Eisleins. And I half a dozen people mentioned that to me. One of those people happened to be the state auditor for the tobacco and wine and farm, alcohol and tobacco and farm industry, and this is the one that does our books and all that for the wine business. And I was told by them that it was that they'd heard that rumor. So I thought it was going to happen, which it unfortunately never did. It would have been great to have one of those around. But the Riesling grape is used most often, the most common grape used for an ice wine. For Rieslings, again, we'll talk one more thing about aging. A Riesling will age, you figure, the ones that you're going to go down to the store and buy, drink them. If you're going to look at a dry Riesling that you want to age, it can last anywhere from 5 to 15 years. Again, under good conditions, not just going, you know, anywhere. A semi-sweet Riesling, 10 to 20 years. Again, you're looking at Baron Auslese, possibly, but a Baron Auslese, something like that. And then the sweet versions of the Riesling, 15 years over. I mean, they can go, like I mentioned, over 100 years. They have the capabilities of really going a long time. But most of the ice wines are made with the Riesling grape, and the Riesling grape is tend to be very good for making making ice wine. Soil in regions that you're planting Riesling grapes tend to balance between fruit and mineral flavors. It's very common to pick up a fruity, minerally taste to a Riesling. Most of the time, they are not aged in oak. Seldom. You will find every once in a while a vintner that will age a Riesling in an oak and not to do anything particular to it, just what they call a natural oak barrel fermenting, just to soften it a little bit. And oak will soften wine, and so it's a good way to try to soften the little bit of the acids and stuff in the Riesling by putting in oak for a short period of time. The Riesling grapes are there's like over 50 different names for the Riesling grape, and through genetic testing and through genetic DNA testing, they have found that all these grapes that go by all these different names are really the Rieslings. Johannesburg Riesling you will see really quite often on bottles. So there's a very nice Johannesburg Riesling that comes out of Washington State that is the Riesling grape. Riesling is the most common name that you'll find, though, as opposed to anything else. There are a lot of crosses with the Riesling. Rieslings have came out with a lot of different grapes. The most common one, the most notable one, is the Müller-Thurgau, which was developed in 1882. Very nice grape. It's a cross between a Riesling and a Sylvaner, and if you ever get a chance to pick up a German Müller Thurgau, that's M-U with an umlaut over it, Müller, L-L-E-R, Thurgau, T-H-U-R-G-A-U. Ever see one of those in the store, German one of those in the store, it's well worth picking one up, because it's got a lot of really nice characteristics of both the Riesling and the Sylvaner grapes, which really gives for a nice taste treat. Food and Riesling. Let's cover that real quickly there. I notice our time is getting down here, so let me cover food and Riesling quickly. Riesling can pair with a lot of things because of its balance of sugar and acid. White fish, pork, it can stand up to stronger flavors of things like Thai food and Chinese food, Indian food. You get a little acidic Riesling, and you start pairing that with Indian food, the spiciness of Indian food or Thai food, and it's a wonderful combination. Riesling, you're going to get typical aromas of flowers and tropical fruits and a minerally aroma, which can also work well with your fish and pork. I don't personally think I would go Riesling with a heavy meat meal, because a Riesling really, I don't think, would hold well against those. Most Rieslings being the white wine, I don't think has the oomph behind it to hold up against something heavy and strong. Cabbage is a great thing to match Rieslings for all of you cabbage fans out there. Cooked cabbage and a bottle of Riesling is a great combination. You can also, most Rieslings are served chilled. And when I say chilled, in the refrigerator a couple of hours before you serve it, that's all it really needs. You don't need it to get it too cold. You can serve the very sweet Rieslings, the Trockenbaren Allstaces and the Ice Vines and stuff like that, warm, a little bit warmer, more along the lines of red wines as opposed to chilling them. You really bring out a lot of the flavors and characteristics of them that way if you serve them warm. So that's, a brief history of Rieslings, a little bit, more than you've ever asked or want to know about a Riesling. Bottom line, it's a beautiful grape and makes for a wonderful wine. If you're searching for a wine to try, pick up a bottle of Riesling. They are out there. There are lots of them out there. They are gorgeous wines. Keep an eye on New York. Maybe they'll start coming out with some Riesling grapes and never start bragging about how great the United States puts out a Riesling in New York.
Right.
But it's a wonderful wine, absolutely wonderful wine and wonderful grape, and gives you any range and any style that you would possibly want or care for. So,
wow, very good.
There we go.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you, audience.
They're actually outside in the yard now because it is good skies outside. And speaking of good skies, second glass is really going.
I get to drink now. You get to talk. I'm drinking my wine.
Speaking of good days coming up this weekend. This weekend, yes,
this
because
weekend.
I was supposed to be off this weekend and I'm not. The rotation is next Saturday. Actually, the following Saturday. So maybe what is that?
Well,
two, 3 weeks
yeah.
from this coming Saturday, I'll be able to do that as long as the rotation keeps going. But you need to go out to the winery this weekend and enjoy. Angelo Cook is going to be, again, the musician at the Florida Estates Winery for Wine Fest. That is this Saturday, and that is from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m., as they do every other Saturday. So definitely check it out. Angelo Cook will be returning as a musician. He's been to quite a few of the festivals and is really a favorite there at the winery. Also, you'll have wine tasting, which you do anyway, but you'll have the wine tasting there. It's a lot of fun to do that. And there's going to be vendors out there, so you can shop. They have handmade items. They have Avon's going to be there. And there was something in the... Ginny, there's something in the newsletter that you had. She's going to be there with Avon featuring the new 7-in-1 lipstick. Now, that personally doesn't, matter to me, but so it's 7 shades in one lipstick. That's kind of interesting. That's
that is. I didn't read that. No.
I might just have to go there and check. But there's going to be... all kinds of vendors are going to be out there. There's going to be a couple of new vendors, and you need to go out and check it out. And let me see what kind of time we have. That's this weekend. And you need to go to the Florida Estates Winery website, sign up for their newsletter. You can do that from their website, and you will get these as they come out. They're full of information about the events and different happenings there. The next wine class is scheduled for June the 20th. You definitely want to.
That is Saturday.
3 hours of a really good time there. It's 3 hours, and it's very cool to go to the wine class. You learn all information about wine, and it's a lot of fun. And you also get to sample the wines, and that's all. Everything's covered on the wine class.
That's Father's Day weekend also, so it's a good Father's Day gift for all of you. Don't forget Father's Day coming up a week from this Sunday. Come out to the winery. Dad loves to have a bottle of wine. My kids are listening, hint, hint, for Father's Day. So,
yeah, very good. Let's see, I was just checking the timing here. But the newsletter also, you have recipes. You got, this one you have wine facts down near the bottom of it. And, of course, the information to get to the winery. Address, phone numbers. The phone number to call the winery direct is area code 813-996-2113. 813-996-2113. That is the phone number for Florida Estates Winery. They're located in Land O'Lakes, Florida, off of State Road 52, about 4 miles west of Interstate 75. open daily, except major holidays, but open daily, 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. You can, if you have a group, call them, and they love to work with groups. You're planning a major event, you want to hold a wedding out there, reception, anything, it's perfect. Picnics. It's a great place to go, and this weekend's going to be a great weekend here. The rain won't start until Tuesday, Wednesday, I think, of next week. So
yeah, 20% through Wednesday. So
yeah, so that's not a big deal.
Another thing too, while we're talking about places, Facebook. Mm-hmm. We're on Facebook now. You can go Florida States Wine and become one of our fans. And I try to update it every couple of days. I let you know what's going on at the winery and. What's happening, and you can also communicate with us. So if you have any questions, anything through Facebook, I'll be happy to talk with you that way too.
Yeah, definitely. It's very, very good. And you want to go to the website. It's Florida Estates Wines, WINES.com. That is the website. Or you can email the winery at corp@flewn.com. That's FLEWN, as in Florida Estates Winery.com. And definitely check it out. They do the wine tasting. You come in there and you can get involved with that. It's really good to taste all the wines and you can just enjoy the outside there. They have the picnic table set up. It's really, really nice to go and visit, and they're pet friendly. And yes. I think we brought that up last time, and that was very cool. So you can bring your pets out there, and I don't think you should let them enjoy the wine, but you know you can enjoy the wine. Okay.
And we got all the cows in the back field now, so if you don't want to come in and look at the cows, if cows fascinate you, we got all the cows.
Absolutely.
And then we have baby armadillos wandering around there, so if you happen to be lucky, you might see one of our baby armadillos. And before we sign off tonight, though, I'd like to introduce Mike, our comedian, because he says he has some wine jokes for us tonight. So, Mike.
Oh.
I'm really anxious to hear these wine jokes.
Well, I was going to save them for next time, but anyway.
Give us one. Give us
okay.
one. Tease us with one.
Okay. Let me see how much time. Okay. Oh, I don't know if I should do this one. Okay, here we go.
Okay. You keep up, you're going to kill the last 3 minutes. Oh. You won't have to do any of them now.
Only because we covered Chardonnay before. Here's one. Mother Superior called all the nuns together and said to them, "I must tell you all something. We have a case of gonorrhea in the convent." "Thank God," said one of the said an elderly nun in the back. "I'm so tired of Chardonnay." Okay. I had no, and I
that's
had to,
cute. I like that.
I had the rim shot set up and I missed it, so I'm just gonna just go on.
I appreciate it too fast.
But yeah, I got a couple of those. So I'll reserve them for next time.
Yeah, maybe that'll make people tune in. If they don't want to listen to me, maybe they can hear a couple of jokes.
Right. Coming up with them is there's not a lot of wine jokes out there. We have less than a minute left, and some statistics from the last time. Let's see, the messed up show, the first one we went to Blog Talk Radio, we have had over 46 listeners so far to that one. And last week's, I think we only have 16 so far, and it was a very, 90 seconds. And it was a really good show, but so far we only had 16. And so keep listening, check it out on iTunes. See, I don't know how many people are downloading it from iTunes, so that's one of the questionable things. But
we appreciate everyone out there listening, though. We really do. We'd love to hear from you. So let us know that you're out there and that it's worth our time doing this.
That's absolutely. Email us. You can email the winery. You can email me. You can contact us off of, 60 seconds. You can email us direct. You can call the winery and let them know that you're hearing about it. You can visit the winery. That'd be even better. And say, "Hey, I heard you all on the show," and that would be great. And so definitely let us know that you're listening. And I can tell by the statistics that there are some people listening, but we definitely want to get you on the air. If you have any questions, you want to discuss something yourself, give us a call, and we'd love to talk to you live on the air. So until next Thursday.
Until next Thursday. Good night, everyone.
Good night. Thank you, everybody, for listening. And I don't think I have 2 minutes, but I'll start this up. Thank you, Ron, and we'll definitely
thank you, Mike.
Next Thursday at 7 p.m. right here. Thanks.
We'll look forward to it.
Welcome. It's that time again. Time for Ron, winemaker, cellar master, and tasting expert with Florida Estates Winery in Land O'Lakes. So dim the lights, pull up a chair, or better yet, enjoy the company of that special someone who's staring back at you from the couch. Sit back and relax. Where's the Corkini? Enjoy a tall glass of wine, carefully prepared right here in Florida. World-class wines from Florida Estates Winery. Chat with us online, or better yet, call the show and talk to Ron. By phone, dial area code 646-727-3235. Registered users of Blog Talk Radio can call the show for free using the click-to-talk button. It's all about wine.